So see what you can do to regulate your own nervous system right now. And notice how you may be waiting for me to guide the session, of course, but the sense of waiting versus being in your presence. And how do the two states differ? So, what do you notice? I'll just wait. So, participation is a big part of this, and it's practice for you to become a full participant in the sessions.
Sarah, it's Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into when we talked about presence yesterday. So
Uh-huh.
this morning, I was getting a little anxious about not getting an email from you. And I went out and communed with nature a little bit. And then I sat down and pulled myself back and journaled and just settled back in as well as I could to my presence, and it felt that I was making progress.
That is beautiful progress, Susan. Beautiful.
And thank you for helping with that.
Yeah, and it's a little muscle that we develop, right? And so you find your own little ways of coming back to yourself, just like that. That was just perfect. Thank
Yeah, thank you.
For
It's
me,
Cindy.
oh, go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, thanks, Russ. The waiting puts me outside myself. When I pull my energy back in, I feel more whole and stronger. So, yeah, waiting puts you outside yourself, and pulling it back brings you whole.
And doesn't that feel so much better?
Yes, of course. You just always have to be reminded about,
Tie a little string around your finger.
Yeah. You eventually get there, you know.
Okay, Russ. Russell.
Yeah, no, like I said yesterday, I find when I'm searching or I'm waiting, it's like I'm going outside myself and I'm like grasping for something, and it just puts me in a state of stress and anxiety where if I'm grounded and centered and present, I'm just noticing, like I said, observing or just being essentially. And it just feels so much more relaxing and calming.
It is. And it's how we were trained. I mean, we were trained through all those years of education, sit there and wait for the teacher. Right? That's exactly how we were trained. So let's just make an agreement for any session that you're participating in with me that you have permission to be in your full presence and don't have to be in a waiting mode. And we'll practice like that from here on in. Does that sound good? Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We have to unmute all the time.
So you get to practice that, and takes us out of the old programming. And we were really programmed pretty intensively. So, just like Susan described, taking herself in hand and finding what would soothe and return her. It's just how it is. So that's what we have to do when we're strongly conditioned with something. It takes a few steps to shift out of it. So be patient with yourself when you're working with really deep conditioning to take those little incremental steps gently. Little tiny steps to release the conditioning. It's the only way I know how to do it. Okay.
Yeah, it's Fran. And I'm realizing as we're sitting with this that for me it's a much broader pattern. It's a habitual that when I'm waiting for someone, for some time to arrive, for a person, for whatever there is, there tends to be a part of me and of my energy and my power that's floating around outside of me, which generates a certain anxiety. Even if it's subtle, and it's such a wonderful lesson.
Yes, and I totally relate to what you're describing. And you can see how, I mean, just even waiting for to meet someone for lunch, or for a walk or something like that. Waiting, waiting, waiting. And how, if you add it up in your lifetime, how many minutes you've spent in that waiting state? Just look at that. I know I have spent a lot of time in that state. Ananda, are you on?
Yes.
Ananda, we're having a hard time hearing you. So, is there a way you can increase your volume?
There probably is.
That's a little better.
Okay. Well, I've been enjoying the shift for me because I now view waiting as a precious opportunity to just relax and become aware. So this morning I was certainly aware that the email hadn't come through yet, but I felt like I was holding it rather gently as I was laying in my hammock underneath my ancient grandmother beech tree, and it was just a lovely way to enjoy this sun dappling down through all her green leaves, and there was a gentle wind, so I was listening to her wind chime. I heard some drumming off to my right, and when I turned my head, I watched a pileated woodpecker attacking a dead tree. And it felt like I was handling the waiting in a very gentle way, because I could check out, no email yet, and then just relax into just resting on air.
Lovely. And I use alarms on my phone frequently so that I can count on that if I need to be brought back at a certain time or be, alerted. And so I'll have a soft chime on my phone, and that way I'm completely freed up to be in the presence if I'm expected to be somewhere or have to be on time somewhere. So you find these little supports that can help you with that. You should feel what it feels like on my end with everyone in that waiting mode. It's really heavy energy. And so I was working with that for the last hour and a half almost, in terms of whatever my part in that was and what conditioning I had to let go of in a leadership role to free that up from my end.
It sounds like a lot of pressure, and I was definitely trying to not start beaming my energy at you, knocking on the door or something.
Uh-huh. I appreciate that. So it's something that we can now practice together. And bring to our awareness, and it'll be lovely to practice that together. So, you know, a key phrase these days is oriented towards regulating your own energy. That each person is responsible for self-regulation. And that is part of the new paradigm, but it's not a sledgehammer, like sometimes it's presented. So it's like, you know, regulate your energy or else, you know, it's not that. It's being kind and gentle, and I'm going to use Susan again as an example to figure out what works for you. And sometimes you need to allow something new to come in to that aligns better for you than any kind of standard or habitual way that you've been. And with these new solstice energies coming in, you know, it's a good time to invite any kind of opening that can occur with anything habitual, frozen, strictly structured, anything we depend on for our safety that's external. And it's not cutting those things off. No chopping block here, but it's a gentle allowing for self-love and gentleness with yourself to find a flow of energy, a connection, allowing yourself something that you wouldn't have allowed yourself before because you were taught that you couldn't do that or that it wasn't right. Is this resonating a little bit here?
Yes.
Yes. So can we collectively put this into the living energy pool? Can we plop that in? Because I can't say it better than you said it. So.
Yeah, we all want that.
Great. Plop it into the pool.
Yeah. Beautiful. And boy, this cardinal, you know, outside of our chubby hummingbird, this cardinal is really part of our retreat this weekend. He is just present, present, present. So that's one of our spirit guides here is the cardinal. So, okay. So anything to share since yesterday? Or were you left speechless and thoughtless and wordless?
Hi, I re-listened to the afternoon meditation again. I missed so much of that. I really was in a whole different space. So obviously part of me got it. But what I did notice when I went to sit back down, because I actually was out walking, listening to it, and I was sitting outside and closed my eyes, and I had a visual that came, and it was more like this portal opened into the cosmos, and all of that toxicity, that foundational toxicity, there were like plumes that were leaving and going out into the cosmos. Mm-hmm. So I say that as just, I heard you and what we all went through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I'm excited for each one of you to have your own unique experience, which is, I know it might be different than other teachers that you've had. I'm not trying to gather you into my experience. I'm trying to encourage you into yours. We're gathering in a unified field, but there's no pull to come outside of yourself here. And that transmission's coming through right now. And by the way, I put up the summary for the afternoon just before class started today. And there's three slightly different versions of the afternoon summary. And they're all combined into one document with number one, number two, and number three. And they're just slight variations in them, but the guidance was some people will hear, they need to hear it from one of the variations. So it's a long document, like 20 pages, but three versions of the same afternoon. So see which one penetrates, or it might be that you need to read it three times to see what comes in. But it was really interesting because I spent a long time trying to get one cohesive summary, and it just wasn't coming. And the guidance was someone will hear each one of them differently. So sorry for the length of that, but let's see how it comes in. Anything else carried over from yesterday? Since we passed through the solstice, who was up at 4 o'clock in the morning with me?
I was.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, Sarah, wow, that was a lot. Go ahead, Lakshmi.
I did set my alarm for 1:15 my time, and I did wake up. I think I was sitting up for 10, 15 minutes. It was very subtle. I think I was also so sleepy, but it felt like I could feel some energy in my feet. And then I went and slept right after.
Good. It is. It is very subtle. And it's almost preferable to see it as a wave, you know, of frequency rather than the exact moment. But it's interesting that we can get woken up at that time, and some part of us is attuned to it.
When we did this, As
Go
we,
ahead.
when we did the spring equinox back in March, and that was during the day, I really could feel a lot of movement, energy movement in my feet for like 10, 15 minutes. So I think I was expecting the same last night.
Oh, darn those expectations. You know, it's going to be different every time. Every time. So, that's just how it is. Any expectation gets in our way. So you'll have another chance in September
Yes.
and for the rest of your life. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, and this was on my mind yesterday. And I thought about it too much between the end of class yesterday and today. So maybe that was some of the reaching you felt, but I just wanted to express my gratitude for everyone that shared their personal experiences with trauma in the pelvic region, just how much gratitude I have for people's courage to express their feelings that they were going through. And I think especially with men present, that might have been even more difficult to do. But I just from my perspective, I felt like I just really wanted to express that and share that. And in this session before lunch, I think it might have been when Lakshmi was speaking. I think she kind of chimed in first. Like I just was overcome with sadness. And then I guess Ananda later expressed having grief, and I think that might have fit more for what I was feeling too. It's just intense sadness and grief, which then kind of morphed into shame and just being a man in this culture and sort of then saying like, well, what's been my responsibility in this, and how did I think or act or do anything inappropriately at any time in my past, knowingly or not knowingly. And so, anyway, I just wanted to share my perspective of how courageous it was for everyone to share that either orally or in the written doc comments on the page.
Thank you. That's important to hear.
It's really hard for me to say.
Yeah.
I was so afraid that I'd not say it right.
That was quite heartfelt.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. I know as a woman, I need that kind of recognition and affirmation from men. And that limits it, I know, but it does take it down to a really personal level that is so important to have acknowledged.
Thank you. I feel like it's the least I could do. So thank you for giving me the space.
As you say that, for me, and this might also be awkward wording, but it brings to me a vision of the subtle atmosphere that, and I don't know what the experience is for men. I need to say that. But for women, it's like walking around in a cloud of violence, aggression, and dismissal that just is an atmosphere around us. And it's so subtle that we don't realize the impact of it and the suppression and oppression of our soul that is happening and the way it creates separation from the divine feminine. And it also separates men from the divine feminine. Let's just let that sink in for a moment. But by you saying that, Russell, it helped me see that cloud, that atmosphere that is around all women. And in some subtle way, the men are bouncing off of that and feeling it. And that turns into all kinds of twisted relationship issues that are, that, you know, just morph into all kinds of blaming, shaming arguments that are an outlet for that without recognizing what the foundation of it is on both parts.
That was wonderful to hear articulated, Sarah, because along with the annoyance of being constantly viewed as a piece of meat, there's this sense of men are capable of violence under the right circumstances, no matter how wonderful they seem. In the right circumstances, they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it means they're kind of a constant sense of, you know, do I appease them? Do I guard? I tread carefully. It mm-hmm. was the result that I came to.
Yes. Do you mind if we spend a little time on this, all of us here? Because it's definitely opening up and having a chance to straighten out and clear here.
Oh, this is Cindy. I also re-listened to yesterday's meditation this morning, and I too had missed quite a bit because, you know, zoning out at the time. But the thing that makes my heart feel good, and I'm not going into, you know, yes, we'll spend some time on it, but what joy it brought me that we were dissolving that layer of patriarchal power, I'm going to put that word on it, that... Okay. That came up through our work with the pyramids. That gives me such hope that this whole, I've lived my life in fear. You know, Mark and I will go away and he's at a meeting and I refuse to go walk outside in a strange city because I don't know what I was going to meet up with. And I realized the depth of that fear right now,
mm-hmm.
of what it's like to be a woman in this culture, and what bars and what a prison that has been. So,
yeah.
That's all.
Thank you. So there's definitely a connection between that deep meditation yesterday and the amount that the illuminated beings were able to clear on that masculine distortion and what we're able to clear now, what each one of you is able to express. There's a lot of light coming in now. And please feel free to speak if it comes to you to speak.
Mrs. Lakshmi, I wanted to thank Russell because I did, after I shared, felt like a little nervous that I'd shared. And then I reminded myself this is a safe space. But just hearing what Russell said and how it was heard and that it was listened to from a man's perspective is a little freeing. So thank you.
Lakshmi, what I didn't say is when you spoke, I got tingles. Right as you were starting to say, you were getting tingles, like my body was tingling too. And I just thought that was really beautiful. So share that with you now.
Thank you. I thought Sarah was doing something when I saw the tingles.
Well, she was doing it to both of us.
I wasn't doing anything. This to me is what a sacred circle can be as a community. Is anything else coming up for men or women that needs to be spoken?
I guess I would add, and it came up this morning, I guess in all fairness, that toxicity is, it's not just men. Like that masculine toxicity could be, it can come from any gender. So, I say that in owning whatever my part is in that, or trying to understand that.
Well, that's part of the twistedness, the distortion. That occurs because of this. And boy, the guides are really here strongly now. And they want everyone to see how distorted in every direction this distortion from multiple planes beyond what it has created. So if you picture something like the flower of life or a beautiful flower blossoming in the sun versus the flower of life with all those lines twisted and contorted, or a flower like unable to blossom, it's like stuck in a bud stage. You know, when you've seen like a bud that dies in that budding stage because it didn't get a chance to bloom. That's what this distortion on this other dimension, when it vibrates down into the earth plane, it creates this enormous amount of confusion and emotional distortion, lack of clarity, shut down to love, collaboration, and it's created that hierarchical masculine dominant pattern in the culture for the last several thousand years. And so to be reminded, this really starts way beyond our earth consciousness. And that as we move through the solstice, more of this is going to become apparent. Because we can't, and we've proven we can't solve it just with our own limited minds. I mean, so far that hasn't worked. And the more aware of our dimensional consciousness we become, the more we understand that it takes a ceremonial, multidimensional engagement of this relationship with beings beyond the mind to generate a true transformation. That the ceremonial process takes into account the multi-dimensions, takes into account relationship, and gives us access to true transformational possibilities. You might be able to feel like an expansion or an untwisting going on in your being right now. To be able to engage just with a small group like we have, where that straightening, I keep using the word straightening and twisting, but that's how it seems to me, you know, our fascia spirals, and so it creates a sense of unwinding and twisting down from the body's point of view. And so I use words that kind of have that fascial relationship to me. But to be in a community where we can be in ceremonial space, talk through this unwinding with expressing our feelings, allowing them to release into the ceremonial space for clearing. The past trauma can be healed in this way. And how comprehensive the ceremonial space can be, to me, is just the most beautiful expression of our full humanity.
This is Cindy. Something just popped in for me, and it was the knowing that ever since I was a little girl, I have been afraid of men. And it wasn't tied to anything that I recall. It was just this basic fear that ran as a program in my being ever since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was re-listening to the recording this morning, you spoke in it of the fabric, like the fabric coming apart, not really coming apart, but there was that thread of violence that had been seeded. And my question is, was that a cosmic seeding? Because I took it as it was something that was seeded into this planet, but it's beyond this planet, was it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can't tell you why it happened. That hasn't been revealed to me. It's not okay. Like the stories of the Anunnaki and all the gods coming down and making us into slaves and all that. It's way beyond that.
Okay.
It's in a galactic plane that is pure frequency and vibration, and something happened. Just like a volcano going off or an earthquake going off on the planet, you know, something created a distortion that vibrated into our field, into the earth field, and it was held there through this low frequency cycle that we've been going through, what they call the Kali Yuga. And now it's able to be opened up and shifted as this new cycle comes in. And it is, you know, we're in a rising cycle, so the frequencies are getting brighter, lighter, more intelligently aligned, but it's been caught and stuck. And if we take into account the cycles that the reality goes through, that there's always the ascending and descending cycles, and that there are low periods, there are cycles that are very dense and very low frequency, which also create the possibility for matter being created. So the lower the density, the more dense the physical is. So it provides opportunity for us to be in a body, have a chair, have a computer, see each other in a solid form. So this is part of the flexibility that we need to have in terms of understanding these cycles and what opportunities each one creates for us. And so we have been in a very dense materialistic, not in the sense of money materialistic or objectified, but material stuff, you know, coagulated material that forms something that can be seen by coagulated eyes. That's an opportunity too. And so having this greater, bigger picture is helpful at times. But we have not been educated in that bigger picture. We've been educated in a bigger picture that says, God will reward you if you're good and punish you if you're bad. And that's kind of the greater picture that we grew up with.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, this is why we want to come back here. You know how you joke about, you know, why did I come back for this, you know, kind of thing. But it kind of, it shows me on this grand, on this very large and grand scale, why I wanted to come back now. Does that make sense?
It does. Like, it's what's it like to
be in the Earth school, and what, how precious the Earth school actually is, and what it, and why we're here for this. Mm-hmm. So that helps. That helps a lot, because with everything that's been going on and just everything, it, that big picture just lets me know why mm-hmm. we wanted to be here now. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Yay. We have a body.
Yeah.
And a chair.
I'm going to chime in on that. And, uh-huh. and I've often woken up in the morning and said, why was I in the line saying, take me, take me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's Ken. Thank you, Russell, by the way, for speaking for the male species. So I'm going to throw this out there, and I don't know where this is going to go. Maybe it goes nowhere. But when I was very, very young, in elementary school, maybe second grade, third grade, I know by fourth grade, I saw well, they were girls at the time, as angelic, and boys as brutish. And that was, you know, I don't know how much culture figured into that one. Was that, are people just born that way? I don't know. But men were more aggressive, more, you know, social climbing, and on and on. And it was my view that, that women were just very angelic and pure. And that has, moving forward with that thought, I think things get really messy as you grow up, and that, I'm not even going to go there, but that's how I felt at the time. I'm wondering if women felt angelic, if men felt brutish. Well, as an observer, that's how I saw things.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling such a wonderful softening of such an old pain, and to have it be acknowledged is such a relief. I mean, my husband, when I met him at 23, he didn't understand why I was so angry. I was an angry feminist. And I have never personally experienced any violence from men. I have had deeply wonderful men friendships, including with my husband. And yet I felt so that the cultural milieu was so focused on my femaleness, in negating it, in denying it. And it resulted in endless GYN problems that culminated in a hysterectomy, which forever removed any opportunity to have children. And it was nothing I couldn't look around and point my finger and say, oh, I have trauma because this person did this, or I've never had any personal violence directed at me. But the cultural oppression just felt so directed at my femaleness. And it was so intense and so powerful, and it was kind of never overtly acknowledged. So this is a relief to hear, yes, this was real. Yes, it was going on. Yes, it's present, and alhamdulillah for all of us, for both genders, that it's starting to dissipate.
I would like to be in a, I'm in a position right now of holding a space with the alignment of the illuminated ones, but I would like you to, anyone to continue speaking up about this, because within this space, a lot of healing is happening for both men and women here. So I'm going to be quiet, but I would like people to speak up.
Good morning. This is Michelle. And my experience is the dissolving of pyramid culture, and the energy that supported it was how I experienced yesterday afternoon. And as we're speaking now, it calls forth the recognition of when I acted from the culture of pyramid. And not in the culture of circle. Oof. And there was a dissolving yesterday for me with the awareness that the experience of the pyramid culture coming towards me, and I experienced it as masculine energy, that somehow wired into the root chakra was the idea that the fear of more masculine energy coming towards me, either to manage and control or harm, that had given me a fear of the feminine energy because I couldn't discern what was coming flowing towards me. So the dissolving of that undifferentiated flow, allowing the feminine energy, the freedom to be flowing upwards into circle culture. And everybody's words and hearts, I'm grateful, and presence. Thank you.
For the males in the group, how does it feel to have that rigid masculine pattern conditioning start to break up?
It feels so good for me. You mentioned the twisting and the straightening. Like, I was physically feeling the untwisting even before you spoke that. And I guess this is why this was so heavy on my mind all day yesterday. I just wanted to say too, I don't know if it was clear, but it's such an honor to hold space as a participant in the circle, in the greater Monday circle, for anything that anyone shares. But I think specifically what we're talking about now, I just want to make sure everyone knows I'm so honored to be part of this group, this more than a group, this community, this circle. And lastly, I just want to apologize and say I'm sorry for anything that I contributed to this. And I wish I could say I'm sorry on behalf of all men in the world. And I don't think I can do that. I don't think I have the authority to do that, but I wish I could. But I say I'm sorry for my responsibility and whatever I put out there in the past.
How does it feel to be freed up from that binding?
Such a relief. I didn't know. I didn't know it was so bound up in me. I had no idea. The huge relief. Thank you.
That's what's really healing to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, as a woman, that's feels safe.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you for expressing that. It means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a lot of frustration and anger in me, and whether that's really personal or cosmic masculinity, I would think, I can't speak for women, but I would think they would also have anger and frustration built up. But I see that in the case of a male, it is much more dangerous. That the actions that result from the anger and frustration can be far more damaging, and damaging especially to women.
Sarah, Lisa, I just wanted my voice to be amongst all of yours. Russell, when you use the word sadness and grief morphed into shame, that was deep. And then Sarah, when you said you had a vision of a subtle atmosphere, walking around in a cloud, and then you said violence, oppression, and dismissal. I can feel those so strongly in my being. And the idea that relationships are bouncing off of that in twisted ways is happening. And I'm sitting with those things. Those things are very strongly inside my being. And Cindy, I too, I remembered because of your sharing about, you know, your fear of doing things by yourself. I'm right there with you. And your stories brought me back to when I was a little, I wasn't really a teenager. And I remember I wanted to take my bike about a mile from my house, and there was this babbling brook that I absolutely loved. And I'd ride my bike, and I'd park it on the side, and I'd go into the woods. And the whole time, I'm looking behind me. I spend no more than 5 minutes, if I am alone in a place of meeting, out of fear of violence. And so I just really needed to share that, the blessing of all of everyone has shared. And so much gratitude to be a part of this family. Thank you.
It's Fran. And this is, thank you all. This is very rich and very deep. And as I've been sitting with this, what I become aware of, at least for me, that I have experienced, and initially the experience was one limited to men and sexuality, and it was very predatory, that I had the sense of I was being viewed from a, you know, certainly teenage years, in a very predatory way, and that it was sexual predatory. And then I realized that that went with that was a sense of entitlement. So you had an entitled predator. And my initial awareness of that was limited to men. And again, no personal experience of violence, yet a very strong awareness of that. And as I sat here, I realized I had normalized that. I had simply, that's the way the world is. And certainly, and there was a phase in my life as an adult where I really disliked men. I didn't trust them. I was angry. And I've realized that this is really much more, it's about a lot more than a sexual violence. Or even a physical violence. I think it may be the toxic masculinity, the kind of entitled, predatory, taking nature of our mainstream culture. And it can be very subtle and can have a very nice veneer of good and good and what appears to be good behavior, but I sense that energy very strongly. And it's, as Kim said, it's not limited to men. It's not limited to men in the sexual arena, and it's certainly not limited to men in the mainstream culture. I mean, I lived and worked in that culture for decades, and it can be a characteristic of any of a being of either sex. And I'm so grateful that this, and I'm, you know, I've kind of attributed to be revealed to me how much that has twisted my, you know, entangled and affected my way of being in the world. I don't feel like I've walked around in fear, but I've certainly walked around with something that has been deeply influenced by that. And I'm grateful that we are in this sacred space, sharing, and that there are clearings of this, whatever underlies this, at a very cosmic level.
This is Elena. Good morning, and thank you to everyone who has spoken. I wanted to share the fear that I experience and how it becomes very, very much tied up in my ability to speak or express myself, and how much physical pain I've been experiencing in my jaw over the course of this retreat so far. It's just, it feels like there's a lot stuck, tied up. Very grateful that this healing is coming through now, this opportunity to release that. And as others have expressed, I can relate to this moving through the world with this fear of being seen or heard, and how much of myself I have compromised in order to not draw attention to me. I think that is what has been coming through most strongly, is this frustration, And I think it does come down to patience on some level, just being able to sense the light that I can bring through and having that bump up against this fear of not wanting to shine brightly. It's a very tangled, painful place to exist. So I'm in a place of trusting and of developing patience around that, that desire to be my fullest self here. And the ability to create the space where that feels safe to be. Thank you.
There's a tremendous amount
This is
of
Tiffany.
Clearing. Go ahead, Tiffany.
I did miss part of the discussion. My son came in upset with an injury. And so hopefully I'm still on topic here, but at the same time, I've heard some of it, and I can also feel the emotion and the energy with this. And I'm grateful to hear other perspectives on it, which I've the some male perspective. And in particular, I'm grateful to hear some women who haven't experienced violence but still feel the fear and other things around it. And I'm finding it helpful and healing to hear, I mean, other perspectives other than my own. Yeah, thank you.
Tiffany, can you feel your heart right now? How radiant your heart is right now.
Sarah, I'm sorry, was that to me? I couldn't quite hear.
Yeah, I said, Tiffany, can you feel how radiant your heart is right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to share in this as well, and I'm feeling a little teary. But I feel like it's worth saying or putting in the pot. So much of what everybody has shared is just I can relate to, and I have not been struck or attacked physically. But I did spend a long time in my marriage of, I left after 34 years. And though there was a lot of good, there is the part of no longer being able to bear to be with someone
think, Sarah, you've used the term like cloaked, like there's a cloak, like a heavy cloak that either was over me or was over the other person or both. And but not being able to be seen or appreciated, so it kind of falls in that dismissal category, whether they consciously know that or not. I could no longer really bear to be in that situation again, knowing that I have a limited time on this planet this time around, and there's so much that I want to share, and there's so much of me that I want to bring forward and shine. I couldn't put that, my marriage, in front of the possibilities that are there. And that's why I left. And having left, I feel the lift of no longer having that cloak. And it's scary at times to be on my own, but it is, I'm grateful that I have the experience to be in a new place. And it is scary too, because there's folks who are like, how dare she leave? They may not say it, but I sense it. And that comes from men and women. And I think in my marriage, I was in this, there was a field of thought that was going on behind the scenes that I could feel. And that's that toxic masculinity. And that's just something that I couldn't endure.
That's it for now.
Thank you.